The following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the R&R Podcast Network. Welcome to the flagship edition of the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. A hard-hitting, in-depth, cutting-edge look into the world of professional wrestling. Now, let's introduce your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. It's another bonus edition of the flagship. I'm your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois. I hope everybody's doing well all around the world, and thank you for being here. This is part two of my conversation with one half of the two-man power trip empire, Chad Ian B. What's going on, man?
The Chadster to
the
you.
Chadster.
Doing well. Apparently, I have nothing going on Wednesday nights that I can join you for back-to-back weeks, but it's literally the only night I have nothing going on. But I appreciated the time we spent together. It was a lot of fun. And yeah, we had to finish up after that second episode of Get My Go came out. But, you know, we'll talk about that and everything in between and under the sun.
That was a very interesting episode of Get My Go. Let's talk about Husey for a second before we jump on everything. The enigma that is Husey, he really brought the fire in that second half. I mean, I feel bad for him because, you know, he said he's going to step back and not do as many episodes because he just can't listen to Johnny Podcasting talk anymore. It literally makes him ill. But yeah. You can just see the fire in his Irish temper come out. He gets really, really fired up, especially in that second half. He's a funny guy.
There was stuff that, I mean, I was laughing at, you know, you could hear on the episode that I missed. Husey dominated that that second half. And again, that's the first time I've ever interacted with these guys ever was on that, you know, that two-parter. We recorded for, you know, a good 2 hours, at least 2 hours plus. And Husey's the real deal. He's got some real talent, and he's a very funny guy. And I can see, you know, he's studied under the same comedy tree that I have. And he's got a great quick wit. He's got the accent helps. It's different than anything else you're listening to on any other podcast. And he's got a hell of a future in podcasting if he's going to go forward with it, for sure.
He certainly does. And he's got the Johnny Podcasting voice down to a T, like
which everybody now does that impression.
Yes,
it's like any good impression. You know, everybody did the Bill Cosby impression that Eddie Murphy did. You know, everybody does the impressions that people hear on The Simpsons of other characters.
Yep,
he is exactly in that vein. He created an impression that now other people are doing that impression of their man. You know what I'm saying?
It's hilarious. It's like you know, when I do Vince McMahon, I do Bruce Pritchard's Vince McMahon. So, Everybody does Husey's Johnny Podcasting. That's hilarious. So in the second half of your appearance on Get My Go, I won't say you didn't go very strong, but the boys went very strong on Brother Martin, who you happen to do a podcast with. God bless your soul.
No, I don't. No, I don't do a podcast with. The only Brother Martin I do a podcast with is Troy Martin, a.k.a. Shane Douglas. No. The thing with Martin, he was a fan of my podcast. I never did a podcast. I was on his podcast, but I never did one with him.
Right. Sorry. Let me rephrase that.
You scared the shit out of me for a second. I was like, do you know anything about me? Do you know my name? Like, why do you have me on here 2 weeks in a row? God.
Well, I mean, I told you off air, I never listened to your stuff.
That's true. You did.
I did.
You prick.
I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. You were on his show.
Yes.
One time.
Correct.
And you had to listen to him stutter and stammer for, you know, an hour and a half.
Which I don't have a problem with, you know. That didn't bother me. You know, he did a very good job in his presentation of that night. And, you know, and I told him, you know, just take your time. We'll get through it, you know, whatever. And it was what it was. But, you know, I talked about the whole recruitment from Wanglin and, you know, asking me to go on. At the same time, I was remembering this, at the same time, I believe Martin had sent me a message as well, but it literally coincided with Wanglin asking me. And again, it was just another, it's just a sit down, man. I'm not a superstar. I'm not an A-lister. So who am I going to say no to? You know, I'm going to sit down and we'll have a chit chat.
You're here twice. I mean, that you.
I love talking to people. You know, I love being able to tell my story. I love being able to, you know, to talk about whatever. And I mean, look, like last week, we went into 9 different other aspects of podcasting and wrestling and life and whatever else.
That's true.
So yeah, it just started off. He had me on his show. I think it was one of the first times he had even recorded, period. And it was what it was, but it also, you know, listening to what he had did that we heard on Get My Go, you know, there should not be a lot of people who do podcasting. Okay.
Then no, I like the joke. Like, it's like they're playing podcasts.
The podcast cosplay shirt is what I want to work on. I got to talk to Feeny about that and see if that could join the creative control repertoire. Podcast cosplay. That's my copyright said here. I'm going after it.
That's fantastic.
The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
How do I say this nicely?
It means it's not going to be nice.
Apparently, after doing that one show with him, you're best friends with him because he literally has to tag you in every single tweet ever since you came on the show. Yeah. Do you even get those notifications? I always wondered. Did you mute him?
Yes, I did to a certain extent. Believe I muted him for a while.
I did too.
And then I either unmuted him at some point. But I don't, I'm not sure, but I did get them and they did stop for a little while. I will say that it was hot and heavy after the appearance and then it did subside for a while. But you know, I mean, I get a lot of tags or messages from people a lot and I hear from them in like a spurt and then they disappear and then they come back again. And it was kind of in that vein. But you know, even up to literally like after Get My Go was recorded, I was still getting tagged in them and not saying I was saying, don't tag me. I just wasn't responding to them.
I mean, most people don't. I mean,
you know, I wasn't doing it.
And you know, Killer Cross.
I mean, you know, they get 9 million, mentions a day, but you know, that I just found it funny. You know, after hearing all the stuff said about, you know, Vince Russo, that he still tags Vince Russo in the tweets, I was very surprised about that. But
yeah,
you
know, and then he says he never said anything bad about the brand. But then, like, all these troll accounts on Twitter, like, pulled up his old tweets where he, like, blasted them and all that and, like, posted all the screenshots. And I'm like, this kid, like, between him and John, I don't know if it's just ignorance or just the level of they're just going to die on that hill. It amazes me. It really does. Like, they are fantastic, mesmerizing psychological projects. Like, if you ever want to take all their, like Get My Go is doing, break down every single thing they do. I'd like to do it from a psychologist standpoint because, good God, man, they deny everything.
Yeah, they think they're amazing. Over because people are making fun of them. And, you know, if you remember the Treehouse of Horror where the Simpsons were attacked by the advertising monsters, the whole thing was just don't look, just don't look.
Right.
Well, in this vein, Get My Go is like the godsend of parody podcasting, and I don't want them to stop looking. But, you know, look, anybody with this thing right here, okay, this microphone – with this thing right here, you can record a podcast however the hell you want, on whatever you want, post it wherever you want. And some people do it for what it is. It's entertainment. Some people do it because they want to further their broadcasting career. Other people do it because they think people want to hear them talk. And that's the thing of the playing podcast. I'm not the best. I'm not the best by any stretch of the imagination. I suck in some regards.
Yeah, I mean, you're not bad. You're not bad. I did listen to one episode.
I have a broadcasting background. I went to school for this. I studied for this moment. This is what I've gone through my whole career of being in shit jobs and being in great jobs.
Yeah.
And when I see this kind of stuff, it's like it frustrates the ever living hell out of me because not everybody should be doing podcasting. And that's the bottom line.
Well, then let me pick your brain, and you can be completely honest. Obviously, you had a good time last week, so you're back. But, you know, I'm not going to toot my own horn, but obviously, even with no broadcasting experience, I think I'm pretty decent at holding a conversation.
You do very good. I am very impressed with the production work that you do. You know, to hear the bumpers that you have, the professional bumpers. I mean, I don't do that. I did voiceovers in a voice like this. You know, I've the intro on Two Man Power Trip shows. I mean, that's me talking like this, and you know, just playing around with effects. But like, no, I think you do a great job. You got a professional microphone. You got a backdrop. You know, you came to the dance with graphics. You came with something that you had a belief in. Some people just think because they're them, they could talk. I mean, again, I'm not going to rip the guy because I don't know him. Two, I don't care to hear from him. And three, I don't have a beef with him. But like the thing he posted that they played on Get My Go at the end where he's doing the chit chat thing and the phone gimmick at Walmart, like it wasn't even funny or it wasn't good or if it wasn't even like talented. It was just a guy babbling on a phone. Like, but he thinks he's over because he makes a podcast.
Yeah. I agree.
And I just don't get it. Whatever. To each their own. If that gets you through tonight, song, by the way, you know, do you.
And that's why, you know, John specifically, when I listen to his shows, he's not a good host. Like, he has a monotone voice. He's very boring. He doesn't have a lot of personality. He doesn't portray or he doesn't show a lot of charisma, but he thinks he's the shit. You know, and he claims to have all these downloads, and it's like, dude, if you got to keep telling people how great you are, you're not great. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there's no humility in him at all. And I appreciate the kind words from you. I mean, you could have been brutally honest, but I mean, I appreciate, you know, the words that you said, because I do try hard. You know, we all have a life. Your job is stupid, ridiculous. But I mean, you put the time in, you strove. Now I sound like Wanglish now. you strive to be the best, and you put the time and you put the work in. And like you told me off air, repetition, you get better. But some of these guys don't get better. And there's so many podcasts out there that don't need to be. They're clogging up the airwaves, you know, trying to take up too much space for the guys that are actually decent.
Yeah.
And some people just, like you said, don't need to play podcast.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, that's the reason why with Francine for Eyes Up Here, you know, we do four shows in one day. Her and I, we record four shows over about 2-3 hours. And it goes the whole week. One show's about an hour. The rest are about 20 minutes a piece. To tell you that it's the most fun I have putting shows
together. Yeah, she's great.
It's a ball. It's laughs. It's jokes. It can get serious. It's informative. But we have a formula, and we've been doing it for a year. So if you look at, we do four shows a week, every week for a year.
Yeah.
That's how you get repetition. You don't just put out 55 bazillion shows and now are a podcaster. You're just clogging up, you know, your own space on your computer. You know, you could be downloading pornographic videos if you want to and take up as many space, you know, as you would 900 files of hour plus shows. The one they played on Get My Go of the SummerSlam 89 review.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Literally, it gave me such douche chills because as somebody who had to really, really go to the drawing board and think of a show to do after I said, like last week, you know, John's kicking ass with our TMPT interviews.
Yeah.
I still won't interrupt his flow. So I had to come up with an idea, and I came up with this New Generation show. It's essentially the same thing, talking about old shit. Mm-hmm. But I listened to that, and I was like, he took a show that I beloved from my childhood and adulthood and can still watch and remember every detail of seeing it on pay-per-view for the first time and, like, desecrated it. Like, he like, spit on the grave of SummerSlam 89. I was so disgusted from hearing that.
Yeah, and that's not just that. It's everything he does. You know, he's another guy that likes to take headlines that are going on and, like, you know, hot button topics and just put out a podcast about it and think he's going to get, you know, 10,000 hits on it because it's the item of the day or it's the hot news story. And he does these buzzwords and he uses just,
but you know what, let me interrupt you for a sec, but then why isn't he doing this on YouTube?
That's a good question.
Why is he doing it on the podcast level? See, YouTube, like the to me, the pinnacle of podcast YouTube content is Hannibal.
Right. Okay?
I love Hannibal to death. He's great. A great dude. We have chatted many a times. We've talked off air. We've talked in person. I love Hannibal to death, and he knows it. And you know, he's a great guy. He hit it out of the park when people were sharing shoot interviews. Rob Feinstein, RF Video, Sean Oliver, Kayfabe Commentaries. Eventually, those guys stopped doing them regularly. Yeah. And Hannibal said, you know what? I'm going to slip in. I'm a worker. I know how to talk to these guys. And even Shane Douglas told me how prepared Hannibal is for their interviews, that he's got pages and pages and pages of questions ready for these guys. And he knocked it out of the park, and he set the standard for wrestling content on YouTube, right?
Yep.
But these other cultaholics and, you know,
WrestleMania.
That shit's terrible. Yeah. And the Wrestling with Regret guy, I mean, he is the worst. I mean, what a freaking mark loser. And I know he's in the business, he's managed. He sucks. And the stuff he says about the boys, I don't know how he walks into a locker room and doesn't get his ass kicked. These guys, but we'll give him credit. Major, amazing job with his presentation, how he does it, he prepares, yada, yada, yada. Why didn't Wangland do that? If he wants to hot button talk, you know, you type in those keywords, you know, Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch pregnant.
Right.
You do a 5-minute video on it. You can get, you know, you can fall into 10,000 views. You could.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's going to search, like, podcasts for that. You know what I mean? Podcast Addict or iTunes and be like, oh, yeah, exactly. That's a great point. I mean, that's an easy thing that he could do to generate some more eyes or ears to his podcast if he wanted to. You know, he could put that video out. If people like him, he'd be like, oh, all right, if you like that, catch me, you know, 3 times a week, blah, blah, on my podcast. Just like that. That's, you know what, since you brought that up, I'm gonna do that now. Thanks Chad,
dude. I'm telling you, like, that for me, you know, it's not something I wanted to do. Now, we always uploaded stuff to YouTube. Anything that I was uploading up to YouTube was what you would then read in the sheets, and that's how, like, a lot of our stuff got out there, is because I would literally type out the press releases that would go alongside the interviews. But it's a lot of freaking work, and that was just for clipped content. You know, I've never just turned on the YouTube, gone live, recorded, blah blah blah, and then moved on with my life. Francine and I have talked about doing it a few times, but we just never did. We have our Patreon members come off for roundtables every so often. That's like the closest we're going to get to doing something live. But dude, even with her, when we talk about hot button stuff, like, for every like 5 to 10 big wrestling stories, we give it like 2 minutes because everybody's talking about it. So what is Francine's input going to do to change your mind versus anybody else? Same thing with the franchise on the Triple Threat podcast. We throw a lot of topics at him because people really do want to hear what the franchise has to say, because he'll take one question and he'll do it for, you know, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to hear Wangland talk about it. You know, it's just being frank. That's why I don't talk about current event shit, because it's not, I don't know. I don't know anything. What do you want me to provide? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're working inside and you have like an inside edge or whatever, that's fine. But yeah, no, he thinks that's, you know, going to get him views and going to get him listens and all that. It doesn't work. I mean, because nobody knows who he is. And that's, you know, I shy away from stuff like that, too. I do stuff that I like to talk about, just like you said with your New Generation show. My Rewind show is just that. I talk about things that I love growing up as a kid. You know, I'll talk about my favorite wrestlers like Shawn Michaels, or I'll talk about my favorite pay-per-views or what made me a wrestling fan. It's just, yeah, it's just me talking for an hour, but it's something that I have a passion for, and that shows through my product. But when you got guys like him that just try to do the topic of the day or shit like that, or he does NXT reviews and doesn't even fucking watch it. Even admits on his show that he doesn't want. I didn't watch it this week. I usually watch AEW, but then they do a fucking, him and Chris do an NXT review show. Like, are you fucking kidding me, dude?
What's the point? I mean, that's quite simple. What's the point? I mean, with the New Generation, you know, I did about 10 episodes of New Generation Declassified, I was like, shit, I should be doing the Federation years, because I'm kind of getting tired of the New Generation already. And like, I'm like, damn, I could be watching Saturday Night's Main Event instead of, you know, Superstars from 95.
95, yeah.
But, you know, but like today I recorded an episode by myself for 45 minutes. All I did was talk about Coliseum videos, and I just kind of went through the chronological releases between 93 and 97. And I was like, I blinked, 45 minutes passed, and I was like, wow, awesome. that was cool. But guess what I didn't do? I didn't sit there and pontificate about all these, glorious inside details I had about Coliseum Video. There's some things I know about Coliseum Video that, I've done the research on, but I've also interviewed the guy who helped launch the freaking product. Oh, so, wow. I was able to provide some insight, but, I'm not going to sit there and tell you, I'm any expert, or you need to hear what I have to say. If you choose to hit the download button, welcome, sit down. We're going to chat. Yeah. But otherwise, who's going to go and listen to that? I just don't understand it.
Yeah, no, I agree, but...
I told you I was feisty tonight.
No, I know. You're fired up. You're fired up.
I don't know why, compared to last week.
Last week, I don't know. You were just kind of, we're just kind of feeling each other out and, just building rapport. And now you're just like, fuck it. I'm just going to unload. I like it, though. I like it. I like the fire. I'm surprised, since your last appearance on Get My Go, that Chris was still tagging you in his post, which I think
he did. I don't think I got tagged in a post.
Are you really?
I don't. John, he tags John, Two-Man Power Trip John. He doesn't tag me. I have been removed from the tags. That's who
it was. It was a TNPT. Yes. Okay, all right.
And, it's that's whatever. John's...
Maybe he's a little upset with you now.
Still following me.
Bless his heart.
What are you gonna do? But to each other. I was just disappointed with what I heard, and the way he was talking about his wife, because he talks about being a family man and this and that, and if you go onto my Twitter page, right at the top of my pinned it to the top. My wife came on Eyes Up Here 1 week, and we did a kind of like a Jim Florentine ripoff of awful Facebook posts.
Yeah,
and. She was on there with that, and I pinned that to the top because I was really proud of the fact she came on. She fucking hit it out of the park. But it was really disappointing to hear that in a tribute show to his deceased grandma, that he's sexually exploiting his wife in the way that he did, in the manner he did. It was disgusting. And I'm no prude by any stretch of the imagination, but I would never talk about my wife on a public forum like that, no matter what she did. She could be a congresswoman, she could be a waitress, or she could be a car wash attendant. Would never talk about my wife in a public forum like that, and that was disgusting.
It is disgusting, but then he wants to go and give people advice, like he acts like he's the good Christian boy who never does anything wrong, and says, talk about Feeney and all the guys, like, you guys are just wasting your time. You need to be spending more time with your family. He's gone after me for being a bad dad, because I have a daughter, but I'm spending all day tweeting about these guys. Like, really? Like,
dude, I can't even begin to tell you, and my John could tell you how many shows that I had to miss because of family obligations.
Yeah.
I can't even begin to tell you. I coach softball. I'm at every Girl Scouts meeting. We talked about that last week. I go to every single thing that my kids have going on, no matter what. But because I'm a fan of Get My Go, that means that, am I a bad
dad? You're a troll. You're a troll.
I'm the furthest from it. Again, never met Durband, never met Feeney, never met Husey before I talked to them. Didn't follow any of them until I found Get My Go, courtesy of the great Jeff Lane. Big shout out to my boy Jeff Lane, who sent me a very funny email after he listened to Get My Go. Just cracked me the hell up. We were in Hobby Lobby, and I got his email. I was hysterical laughing at his email to me. So shout out to Jeff Lane.
Yeah, I like Jeff. Jeff's gonna come on the show whenever he has time.
Oh, he's the man. I would love to do a show with Jeff Lane. I have some sort of podcasting. Nothing like Get My Go, because Get My Go is in a class by itself. But I have some podcasting thing that I'd love to tell Jeff Lane that I think he would get a kick out of one day. So a dream project of sorts.
All right. Well, maybe we can make that happen. but yeah, I would never talk about my wife that way either. And Jesus Christ, especially publicly. You know what I mean? Like, if you're talking with the guys, whatever, you're hanging around watching football, and making jokes and shit like that, you don't put that on, like you said, a public forum. Like, his daughter, when she gets older, his kids could hear that when they get older.
I couldn't believe that, too, that he's having his daughter on his show.
Yeah.
Somebody told me that in a message.
I didn't listen to it, but yeah, apparently that's out.
Or maybe, yeah. I don't know. I know who said it. And they told me that. And you know, like to follow that up with 2 weeks after you talked about your wife in a sexually explicit way on a public forum that is there for all eternity. You can delete it all you want. It's going to be living in the
It's always there. It's always
time.
There.
Yeah. It is. It's just disappointing to hear. But you know, hey, again, whatever. I can't do anything about it, and nor do I have a strict opinion either way. You do you. Just keep on trucking.
Yeah. No. I appreciate you taking the high road because, you know, you could just pile on like the rest of us do. But I mean, you don't have a history.
I find it entertaining because I don't have a history. I don't have a dog in a fight.
Exactly.
I literally, you know, go to my Twitter. Okay, I'm not fighting with anybody.
Yeah,
I'm not you know getting any fracases. What do I do? Hey, check out guys up here today. We're talking about earwax removal. Hey, listen to the Triple Threat podcast this week. Shane Douglas talks about 30 years of Jericho. Hey, listen to New Generation Declassified. Hey, listen to Time Conversations. That's all I got. Or I drop a baseball card comment. You know, here and there. Like that's all you're gonna get out of me.
The Red Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
John apparently is a big fan of JD from NY, so that shouldn't come as any shock as to what he likes and the kind of thing that he wants to do. JD does this stuff for shock value. And how long can that really last? I mean, he's really starting to turn a lot of people off with his style. And
what, what has he been doing? Bring me up to speed.
Well, I mean, you heard the whole... I don't know, maybe you didn't hear about it, but did you hear about the whole Trish Stratus? Not Trish Stratus, Alexa Bliss. JD had said something.
What you're talking about?
Wow. Okay.
Sorry.
JD had said something about Alexa Bliss and her sexual prowess, and it took off. She saw it. She actually responded to it, and then you know her whole fan base went after it. Fucking Mick Foley even jumped in and private messaged him, told him that what he said was disgusting and disrespectful and. Yeah, he pissed off, and that was about 2 months ago. He pissed off a lot of people, and John messaged me, and he's like, oh, that's such good shit, man. Like, people are such fucking thin skins, and you got to have thick skin for podcasting and all that. And I'm thinking, like, this is the biggest fucking snowflake in the world, and he was telling me at that time, you got to have thick skin if you want to be in entertainment and be in podcasting, but yet he goes and reports everybody's fucking Twitter accounts because, you know, he's getting picked on. He's getting bullied.
Says the guy who's not in broadcasting and has no broadcasting experience.
And doesn't even have the following that JD has either.
But how the hell does he know that? You have to, you know, whatever.
You got to have thick skin. Yeah.
Thick skin. I mean, you're an American, so you have a right to say whatever the hell you want.
Right.
If you're being censored, then you're being held against your rights. If somebody says something about me, I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to freaking do? You know, I didn't mention this last week, but, you know, again, not tooting my own horn, but in 2016, Rolling Stone did a list of podcasts to follow, and they put Two Man Power Trip on there. And that really helped us a lot in terms of credibility and kind of how we started to build up a little more. But in the article, they mentioned our audio quality, right? So what am I supposed to do? Like, go, like, be depressed that I got called out for bad audio quality on a list put together by Rolling Stone about top wrestling podcasts to follow. Right. Like, who cares what people have to say? As long as they're talking about you, that's good. So in the case of the Get My Go thing, these guys, people are going to listen to them based off of Get My Go. Now, is it for, you know, nefarious reasons? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's going to drive people there. And then guess what do you do with that time? In not being a subscriber to Reality Wrestling or Wrestling Reality Check or whatever the hell it was, if I'm going like, ah, man, I got to hear Wanglin talk about NXT this week, and I hit play, and he starts talking about unnamed trolls for 45 minutes, I'd be like, what the hell did I just listen to?
Yeah, right.
You know, like,
people have no clue what's going on. People that aren't on Twitter have no idea who me or Feeney or Husey or Durban
are. How many people are on Twitter that, you know, we could go on a political rant about this. The minority of the minority of the people of Twitter have the biggest voice, right? Yeah. There's a small number of people that have the biggest voice in the world that influence everybody.
Yep.
So, like, why are you going to waste your airtime? What if somebody did find you on iTunes? number three in Brazil? What if they did find him?
Oh, that's going to be clipped. That's going on Twitter. No, exactly. And you're right. With all this added exposure that he has now, because everybody, and fuck, even Disco and Vince and everybody are putting over Get My Go, even though they're saying it's banned from the show, they're still talking about it. He has all this added exposure from guys that people actually listen to, and he's doing fucking dick with it. Nothing at all.
I love Russo, how he's every week he, you know, he says like, you know, we're not going to talk about what is this? Get my what? Get your go.
Get my
go. But he tells, you know, we're not talking about it. We're not talking about it. And he's a guy who, if he gave a shit about what people said, would have cut a promo on Wangler. But it just goes to show you that if you could talk the way he did, that's how people, it resonates with Russo, just whoosh, right over his head. Just another voice out there that says something about him.
Right. Now, if you were in that position, and I know you never would be, but let's just put yourself in JP's shoes here. Like, what would you do if you had all these people, you know, giving you shit, trolling you online? You got, you know, Get My Go is tearing you up. You have all this added exposure. What would you do with your platform?
Mean tweets.
Mean tweets is funny. Yeah.
No, you know what I would do? I can't say I would no-sell it completely. But I would do what you said. I'd take the time and people that I know are coming in to listen to scrutinize every word that I say to put out the best goddamn show that I possibly could and to see the, you know, the finished product, everything come out at my goal. Like my other reaction would be quit, delete, put the Mac off to the side, retire. 'Cause it's not worth it. I mean, it would not in any way, shape or form worth my time.
He did retire for 12 days.
Oh, that's right. I got to get my go. I got to listen for the fifth and sixth time now versus fourth and fifth.
Yeah. He, you know, he put out this podcast. It was supposed to be his last podcast for a while. He's like, I don't know if I'm going to be gone for 3 weeks or 3 months or for a year. I don't know when I'm coming back. And then 45 minutes later, after him talking about the same shit over and over again, he's like, oh, we're going to be back. We're going to be back stronger than ever. We're coming back soon. I'm like, fuck me. And he even told a story, and this is what really lit Husey up. He told a story about his son going into the armed forces, and he wanted to take time off to spend that time with him this summer. And then fucking 12 days later, he's back. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I was actually very surprised he had a son who was old enough to go into the service, because he still looks very young compared to...
Yeah, he's in his mid-30s.
Yeah, Well, what are you going to say? I mean, that's something else. I was surprised to hear that. But, you know, everybody can do whatever the hell they want. If he has the bug to do podcasting, then he's got the bug. You know, everybody catches it at some point, I guess. But it's what you do with that time.
Right.
Is what matters. And those 45-minute rants about unnamed people, if you're going to go that long, then you got to just say, Feeney, you're an asshole. Durban, you're an asshole. Husey, you're an asshole.
But he doesn't. He's
Rad
like, oh.
Rad Rob, you're an asshole. Like, instead of doing, you know, unnamed trolls, and then, like, use the use of, like, the wrestling lingo and stuff. If there's one thing I hate, and look, and I know I said gimmick, I know I said heat, I know I said get you over. I use wrestling terms myself.
Yeah, I do too.
But, you know, and I'm not going to say I'm in the wrestling business. I've worked in the wrestling business. I'm not a wrestler. I'm not a manager. I am not a performer. But... I mean, the use of, like, the wrestling lingo, not like, face, heel, stuff like that. Like catchphrases is what I was like, I laugh at every time. Like, you know, basically, like, know your role, shut your mouth, you jabroni, you know, like, that kind of stuff. Like, and stealing Severin, knuckle up, or, I can tell you for a fact, having interviewed Severin and having emails from him, that he says at the end of his email, kicking ass and taking names. Yes, and I said that on Get My Go. I said that same exact thing. Bro, dude, like, okay, brother, let me tell you something, Mean Gene. You know, like, imagine if we started that like that.
Right.
You know,
right.
I am the excellence of execution, the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. And the Heartbreak Kid lays down for absolutely nobody.
Oh, that's fucking fantastic. Yes, he is a walking wrestling one-liner, and he uses these horrible euphemisms and cliches, and he has nothing original to provide of his own, and it's entertainment that can go on forever as long as he's doing a podcast. Get My Go could never quit. I mean, they'll probably kill themselves before that happens. But either way, like, it's a gift that keeps on giving all year round. It's never going to stop unless he stops. And he doesn't realize that.
Listen, Chico, wrestling with reality is running on diesel power.
Oh, Jesus
and
Christ.
Whether you like it or you don't like it, it's the best damn thing going today. See, I can do it too. I can talk in wrestling lingo just like that, like wrestling catchphrases. If you smell what the Rock is cooking, lift my eyebrow there to close it out.
I hate to use an insider term, but that popped me.
Was it a cheap pop or cheap heat?
Ooh.
That's good. Oh, man.
That's good.
The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
Let's get on to what you're doing right now. I know you're super, super busy with your job. But you have your New Generation Declassified show.
Yep.
What's the name of your baseball show?
Diamond Conversations.
Are you watching? Are you still watching baseball? Did you watch it all this season? Or
yeah. Oh, I watched. Yeah, I'm a diehard Mets fan. I got my. You know, we talked about that last week. I got my Mets. You told me you gave me heat for my '86 Mets reference.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was a 10-year-old. I was a 10-year-old Red Sox fan.
I mean, can you see behind my shoulder? I got Keith Hernandez giving some words of wisdom on the wall behind me. My whole basement is literally. It's all Mets baseball memorabilia because that's my thing. But
I'm okay with that because you're not a Yankees fan. We can agree.
But here's the deal, though. I treat my fandom like I treat podcasts. I'm not a snob about it. I mean, I'm not going to be in your face.
I am. Fuck the Yankees. The Yankees suck.
I'm not a big Yankee guy. But I'll tell you what. When I did move from Jersey to Virginia, I did get an affinity for New York baseball. And when the Mets weren't on, I would watch the Yankees, which I really didn't even do when I was unless they were just not playing. But I am watching the baseball year. I watched every game that's played in. I, you know, rode the wave of emotions all the way to the last weekend where if they fucking won out the damn schedule, they would have fallen into the playoffs unexpectedly with a horrible record, but all they had to do was win the last three games and they would have made it in. And I've watched here and there of the playoffs. I've just been kind of distracted with all the other stuff going on, but I'll tell you, man, when I'm recording and the Mets are on, I got the phone right off to the side.
Right.
I look down. People always see me looking down when I'm doing shows. Usually I'm looking for research or I'm looking for something I want to say, but I put the phone off to the side and like I'm like literally like this staring at the game off to the side because I live and die with every pitch of the season, and it's the only thing I can say I am like obsessed with like that. So
yeah, I'm the same way, and unfortunately, the last couple of years have been absolutely disgustingly horrible for the Red Sox. But you know, we had a good
championship a few years ago. Can't deny that,
right? And we almost like Red Sox fans almost have become Yankees fans because like we got used to winning since several times since 2004, and it's almost like if you don't win, it's a bad season, or it's and that's kind of what the Yankees fans were like for many many years. I had a taste of that. It's like when the Sox don't make the playoffs, when the Sox don't win the World Series, it's a disappointing year for me. Same with the Patriots, same with the Bruins, same with, Boston has been on a hot streak pretty much for the last, 15, 20 years. But it must be really, really hard. I'm not making fun of you, but it must be really hard to be a Mets fan. Like there's a lot of bad years.
Yeah, it is. It really is. But, it almost becomes your part of your personality because you know how to cope with disappointment very, very easily. And I can say that as a Mets and a Jets fan, too. I'm not a huge football fan, but, my family is Mets. I actually literally at the grocery store today. I'm wearing your Boston. This is a Pedro Martinez Mets shirt.
Oh, nice.
And I had the shirt on, and the guy at the grocery store said, are you a Jets fan, too? And I said, yeah. He goes, oh, man, that's tough. I go, look, I'm a glutton for punishment. What do you want from me? that's all I can say is it's just one of those things, man. It tests you as a person to have a sports team that has had the ups and downs that the Mets franchise has had. Now, we've gotten approved for new owners in the last 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
Could change, the fortunes of the team. Are they, having some sort of curse like the Red Sox did of bad management for years and years and years?
Right.
That remains to be seen. But I'm just happy that they play on a field. I wear the orange and blue very proudly. And let's go Mets. And that's why Diamond Conversations, dude, it's such a pet project. And, how it was almost mishandled and, miscast on a network that it shouldn't have been on. But It's just, it's a great show. I mean, every week it's just like the 2-Minute Power Trip. I literally follow the same formula for the interviews. It's just bringing on a new guest every week and talking about the game. And man, you find out each guest is connected to kind of your previous ones, and you can bounce stories that you heard in previous iterations off the next guy. So,
and it breaks the monotony of talking about wrestling all the time. You know, at least you're, and not to say that you get tired of doing that, but at least it gives you another outlet to talk about something that you love other than wrestling, and learn things that you never learned before, you know, that you never knew before.
And I love wrestling. Look, I love it. I absolutely love it. You know, I wasn't getting tired of it. I can't say that, because I do miss doing the interviews with John. Mm-hmm. In a certain way. In a perfect world, I mean, I would love to sit down with him once a week and bang out two or three of them. But again, I'm just not going to interrupt his flow.
Yeah.
But I do like being able to talk about other stuff. I mean, I've toyed with the idea of doing, you know, pop culture and blah, 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 because I have that kind of same formula in my head. But I, you know, I'm baseball now. It's a lot of fun. I think it still has a lot of legs and can grow much bigger than it is now, but I'm really doing it to make it. I'm doing it to do what I like. I really like talking to ball players and making connections, and it really helped my sports business. So that's kind of where I'm focused right now, is growing that entity alongside of the podcast growing at the same time.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about IB exclusives. What do you got coming up for that, and how'd you come up with that for wanting to do that to begin with?
Oh, yeah. Well, I started working for a memorabilia gallery right after high school. 2001, I started working for a gallery in Red Bank, New Jersey called Famabilia. And it was a great experience. One of my best friends is who I met the second day I worked there. And I started to get involved with autograph signings, which I had been going to since I was a kid. So it was a natural, you know, right out of high school job. And I worked for a great family who paid me exorbitant amounts of money that I'd never seen before in my life for selling things that people wanted to buy. And it was 2001, so it was in the heart of Yankees dominance in the tri-state area.
Yeah.
You know, all the September 11th madness that went on at the time, and the spirit that was in our area, because our area was very affected by 9/11. But that holiday season of 2001, I'll never forget as long as I live, for the joy we brought to people with the items we had. And it's always been something I've done in the background. And IB Exclusives launched in 2019 in February as kind of a launching pad to where it is now. And what I like to do is I like to do private autograph signings. Mm-hmm. So whereas with John Paz, we would go to conventions with wrestlers, these signings are strictly mail order. So I put out whoever I'm working with, I put out pricing, I put out a deadline, and people send me their items to get signed. I take them to the guy, he signs them, I send them back. Everybody's happy, go lucky there at the end. So upcoming, I have closing the window now. I have a signing with Kane.
Yep.
Glenn Kane Jacobs. And then
mayor.
I have
mayor. The good mayor.
The big red mayor machine.
Yeah.
the great mayor of Knox County. I also have a couple former baseball players and a football player, dual sport athlete named DJ Dozier, who played for Penn State. He was,
I know exactly who he is.
Yeah, All American. He also is a dual sport athlete. Played drafted by the Mets, made it to the big leagues, but didn't have a long baseball career. Played for the Minnesota Vikings as well, and I believe the Detroit Lions. Bryce Wilson, who just pitched in the NLCS for the Braves and got the win against Clayton Kershaw. I'm going to be doing a signing with him on November 5th. I have Octavio Dotel, who's a former reliever for 13 different major league teams, going down to Miami to do a signing with him. And Billy Wagner, former Mets, former Braves, former Phillies, former Red Sox closer, doing my second signing with him in the last 3 months because it was so well received. I love it. I live for it. It is a ball. I get people send me these amazing items to get signed, and it is it's a just absolute joy to run this company. And it does very well.
And I guess it's really a good, you know, business model to have, especially during COVID. You know what I mean? Like, you're not doing conventions. You're doing mail orders. Yes. So you're doing that before the pandemic hit, man.
Correct. So, I mean, here's what I can tell you. the autograph stuff, I didn't kind of, I had the plan. I didn't execute it until July of this past year. Okay, so like I said last week about the baseball podcast, I don't just jump into things. Yeah. I really make sure it's the right time. So I have been selling stuff, you know, online through my company, you know, name since February 2019. But the signings, I pulled the trigger and started scheduling in July of this past year. So yes, during COVID, but at when COVID hit, the baseball card boom shot through the sky. So I also sell baseball cards and football cards and wrestling cards and whatever. And you cannot even get a retail pack of baseball cards right now. The industry is so hot and the prices on the secondary market are insane. And it is all from when the pandemic started in March.
That's crazy because my dad bought me a complete set of Topps 1990, and I believe he bought me a Fleer as well. And I looked them up about 6-7 years ago, and they weren't worth shit.
No, it's a dead era.
The market had,
anything made from basically about 1988 to about 1999, 2000 is pretty much going to be run-of-the-mill. Now, there's a few sets in there that do have value. There's a 1991 Topps Desert Storm Edition that is insanely valuable. There's a couple of rookie cards in there like Jeter and A-Rod and, you know, a couple other guys that really still fetch a lot of money. There's an Upper Deck set from 94 that's very sought after. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, your Topps, Fleers, and Donruss of that era, Upper Deck, were so mass-produced that they killed their value off, you know, almost instantly.
That sucks because, you know, my dad's like, oh, I'll keep this for years. You know, you never know what it's going to be worth. And I kept it, you know, almost 30 years later. And it's like, it is 30 years later, right?
Yeah.
I didn't wear shit. I never opened it.
It's unfortunate, but you know what? It's got sentimental value. And sometimes that reigns supreme over the monetary value.
True.
But with the card industry, I mean, we're talking about how, you know, they changed the game. They put autographs and game used items in. That kind of drove a boom of itself, but kind of subsided because at the end of the day, you know, people were pack searching. They were feeling out the packs to see which one had the bat or whatever. Yep. They'd buy it, bro. People think that they make millions of dollars off of them. You then try to resell it. It's like $4, right?
Right.
And you just wasted all your time doing that.
Yeah.
So what they've kind of done now to change the game is they have these color variations of cards. And, you know, that became the retail search. Now, you can buy stuff still in a hobby shop like you could back in the day.
Right.
But the boxes are a lot more expensive and they are loaded with just marquee names and really sweet, you know, unique relics and autographs. And they reinvent the wheel every year. And it is absolutely impossible to get your hands on some good cards unless you're not willing to pay, you know, a premium price, and you price yourselves out because you have to pay these days to get it. And bro, I mean, like, I basically live at my post office. I mean, I'm doing, you know, 9-10 orders a day sometimes. I had 7 packages that I brought to the post office because I'm still actively selling the cards, but now the memorabilia is mixed in as well. And it's, since COVID, I could tell you quite honestly, in March, when COVID hit, I made almost as much money in the month of March that I did from the holiday season, like November to January.
Wow.
In 2019, in March alone, because, and as funny as it sounds, Utz Potato Chips had an exclusive pack of cards in their, factory bags.
Oh, no kidding.
I was the only one who was selling them at one point. Because I was going to the stores. It's just what,
right.
Nobody's at this damn thing. I'm just going to go back and buy all of them. And I was selling these cards, you know, for $25-$30 a piece.
Yeah.
And, you know, now they go for like $2 because you can get them pretty handily. But at that point, you couldn't find these. And I was like, I was making bank. I couldn't believe it. It was insane.
Yeah, you know, I used to do, you know, make pretty decent money on eBay before, you know, everybody kind of started suing everybody for, you know, like, because I had a shit ton of wrestling videotapes, you know what I mean, from the 80s and 90s.
I've been there. You know. That was, funny story. Me and John Paz, bro, we used to drive around to every video store in New Jersey, going sometimes into New York, sometimes into Pennsylvania, like literally, I used to call myself the closer, that I come in and I would buy out the whole entire inventory of wrestling tapes because they would sit on the shelves for X number of years, not rented.
Yep.
And I used to have them basically, some of the video stores in the Jersey area would give me the printouts of how much they paid for them and when was the last time it was rented. And, you know, I'm like, shit, nobody's rented bloopers, bleeps, and body slams since February 91. Like, shit, how much you want? And they go, $10. You go, sold. And I did the same thing. I sold so many tapes. I mean, not that I regret it, but I mean, now I love the box art. I have a few. I have the Hart Foundation still. Yeah. I have Survivor Series 88 and SummerSlam 89.
Nice. What do you know about vintage wrestling cards?
Booming.
I have
the which ones are we talking
about? Well, I have older stuff. I have boxes of original, like the original run WCW cards that are unopened.
The like yellow, red, green ones.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to file those with the 1990.
Fuck me.
The 1990 set. So now there's one set of vintage wrestling cards that people are literally falling over their mothers to get to. Mm-hmm. And it's called Wrestling All-Stars. And it was from 1982. And after we're done, go on eBay, search Wrestling All-Stars, go to the completed and sold listings and look at the number that some of these go for. Literally insane. That now, guys, I've heard stories of workers that replace the cards that are sent to them to be signed with counterfeit versions of them because you could flip it for, you know, a premium price.
Yeah.
But yeah, the WCW cards from that era, that one and the blue WWF cards from 1990 are very, very mass produced. Now, I will tell you the classic WWF cards from 1989. Those still carry a pretty good value, and the 1985 first WrestleMania set and the 1987 WrestleMania 3 set.
I have 1987 WrestleMania 3.
Yeah, now now I'll tell you something. 10 years ago, dude, you get that for $5 off eBay sealed. At one point I had like 2 and 3 boxes of it, and I would literally give them to my cousin for Christmas. I'd give him a few packs. Now those have taken on a more valuable light because they're getting harder and harder to find sealed. So the 1987 WWF Topps cards are, those are still doing pretty well.
That's what I have. My dad I've had them for fucking forever since I was a little kid. I don't even know where he got them, probably like a tag sale or something. But he got me those, and he got me Attitude Era cards, came in a black box.
There's a few of them that are a little tricky. Now, there's one set that did in 98 or 99 that was one of the first to feature autographs randomly inserted. But what they found was that a lot of them weren't autographed. So you'd get a congratulations, you just received a Farouk autograph card with no autograph on it. So, it sucks. But also, they were one of the first to do redemption cards. So you may buy a box of 1998 WWF Attitude cards that says, congratulations, you've just received a autographed card from China that you're never going to get because you can't redeem it anymore. Yeah. So it's just one of those things, man. The cards seeing some new life. Lord knows I got a closet right here to my left. That is just, it's my warehouse and it's packed to the gills. So hey, anybody looking for a gift for that special someone this holiday season, ibexclusives.com. I do custom orders, so always love talking to whoever wants to talk.
I might actually have to hit you up on that myself, but that's interesting to know about cards, man. I guess it's hit or miss. Yeah, I've been carrying this shit around for 30 years and just it's not worth more than the...
We'll talk off air. I'll see if I can give you some guidance.
Gotcha. Well, man, hey, I appreciate you coming on, man. It was another good chat. You never know what the hell we're going to talk about, but it was good just, you know, cutting it up and talking about the dumbasses that, you know, that we covered on Get My Go and all that. But it's also good to talk about other stuff for a change. So, I mean, we don't always have to talk about those fuckheads. But,
like I said, The Simpsons, Treehouse of Horror, Just Don't Look. Yeah. Podcast cosplay, t-shirt coming soon. Feeny, if you're listening, we need to talk.
Oh, he's listening. He listens to all my shows.
Feeny, we need to talk, my man.
What do you want to plug, man? What do you got going on right now? Other than what we just covered, but go ahead. Give me all your stuff.
Yeah, at Chad E&B on Twitter is the biggie. Two-man power trip of Wrestling Empire, TMPTEmpire.com. Check out all the shit we've got going on there, especially what JP's doing with all the cool shows under the umbrella. Triple Threat on the Russo brand. And please, if you liked the Francine content that's out there that we share a little bit of, and you like what you hear on Creative Control with the audio, if you try us for a month at the Patreon, it's $10, a little bit more than some other Patreons, but it is so worth it for the stuff that we cover. You would be shocked. The watch-alongs we do every week, and when we do talk about stuff about ECW, she's one of the only ECW originals that's doing a regular weekly show out there, and she does not hold back. So, if you're a fan of ECW, you're a fan of Francine, patreon.com/Francine Podcast. I'm telling you, and I'm not just saying this because it's I do it every week. It is the most fun that I have ever had doing any kind of broadcasting or podcasting. You will get a kick out of it. Somebody will. If you listen to one show, you'll get hooked.
Yeah, you can tell you're having fun just by the clips that I see that you put out, the teasers and all that on Twitter and your social media. Like, she is so fun to listen to. I'm actually going to join up just so I can hear more of it because
please,
she's fantastic. She really is. Like, I and this is another thing that comes back to John. I shared texts of you, like, he ripped Shane for, you know, being boring and not having great audio, but
he told me he loved him and that he was like his hero, but
okay. Yeah. Yeah. but then he said, you know, this is what he told me. I don't have video or audio proof, but in a conversation that we had, and this just triggered an old memory, unfortunately, he actually made a play to try to get her on the Reality Check podcast network before she went to the brand and all that. And
Yeah. I know of one I don't know about him, but I know about one podcaster that did approach her around the same time that I did. And she, you know, she didn't really know much about him, but well, I mean, what can you say? If you go onto my Twitter, go look up last week's teaser video of, we do a series. We do Think While You Drink. So
I love that. Yeah.
Take a couple, we throw out a topic, name somebody, and then, you know, take the first letter of the last name and then name the next person, but you have to drink while you're thinking. And yes, we do drink sometimes at 11 o'clock in the morning on a Friday. And she botched something so hilariously that I look back. I couldn't believe I was crying laughing so hard at how she botched it. It's very, very funny. So check out that teaser clip on my Twitter page.
And she's genuinely nice, too.
Yes.
Like
she's great.
Everything I've heard about her is fantastic. I also love the Dr. Tom show that you have on the
Dr. TMZ. Tom is great. Yeah, that's a JP. JP and I, when we were talking about, you know, when we had the JJ Dillon show from about September to December last year, and then JJ kind of, you know, retired, so to speak. But John was like, I want to get Dr. Tom. And I was like, that would be perfecto. I have one of my best friends was a WWE developmental talent that literally said Dr. Tom was the greatest teacher he had in any realm of the wrestling learning tree. And he learned under everybody in the WWE system. And he talks about Dr. Tom in such a glowing way that it's it comes through when you hear the stories that Dr. Tom tells on the air.
And Bruce, I mean, God love him. He gets a lot of credit, but like, it's even harder to listen to his shows because you don't get anything you don't already know. But Tom has no affiliation to anybody. He doesn't give a shit. I mean,
no, he's great. He's so even keel. And again, you know, the JPWA, Jacobs Pritchard Wrestling Academy. You know, it speaks to the man that Glenn Jacobs is, and it speaks to the man that Dr. Tom is. That two great guys from an industry that has a lot of nefarious personalities. Two great guys come together to have a school that's starting to really churn out a lot of great stars, and I'm sure many, many more to come.
Yeah, and they're only 3 hours away from me. I've had Tom on the show, and he was fantastic. The stories he told were just so good.
He'll answer every question.
He did. And he didn't have to do the show, but he did. And, you know, he was fantastic. It's probably one of my favorite, like, top three interviews I've done. But I told him I was going to go check out the school. I just haven't got around to do it. But, yeah, he's only 3 hours away from where I am in Nashville area. So nice. I'd like to go shake his hand because, yeah, man, that dude is – he's a genuinely good guy. And I can't say enough good things about him. I told you I got to meet the good mayor a few times during his campaign. And I mean, that's just another great guy. Like, I know you've had him on your show several times.
Yeah.
Couldn't great be dude. Nicer. Couldn't, I've dude. Never had a bad word said about him at all.
No. Hey, and just so you know, hot off the presses, I do have Francine's only WWE trading card in my possession, signed by the Queen of Extreme, soon to be for sale on the IB exclusive.
Soon to be for sale. Well, I'm sure that's going to fetch a pretty penny. So
Francine, also her first action figure, folks. If you collect figures, support the figure. It just came out, figurestoycompany.com, for Francine's brand new action figure. First one in her 25-year career.
Can I get like an inside discount on
that? I've got to pay retail, man, so I can't. I got nothing.
That's fair. I thought you never know. I thought I'd ask. The worst you could say is no. But yeah, dude, I appreciate you being here, man. And we'll definitely catch up down the road, man.
Without a doubt.
Talk more shop.
Thanks again for listening to the flagship edition of the Red Turtles Wrestling Podcast. Please follow RTW on Twitter at Red Turtles Pod. You can also send us an email at RedTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com. We'd like to thank you for all your support. You've been listening to the Red Turtles Wrestling Podcast, exclusively here on the R&R Podcast Network.